An Air Force contract for 36 rocket cores faces a lawsuit over a lack of competition. SpaceX is challenging a contract awarded to ULA, a joint venture of Boeing and Lockheed Martin. Now, SpaceX Elon Musk says his own company's rockets will be ready in a few months. He wants the Air Force to redo the bidding to include SpaceX. For more on this issue, we turn to Marco Caceres. He is a senior analyst and director of space studies for the Thiel Group. Marco, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so now the latest twist in this is an injunction against that because the rocket cores are from Russia, and that violates the sanctions, I guess, that are imposed by the United States against Russia. So is this all going to stop the Air Force from being able to launch its national security satellites?
No, it won't. First of all, we need to clarify what we're talking about. It's the engines. The RD-180 is an engine, a liquid fuel engine, which is the main engine for the Atlas V rocket, which is one of three rockets that the Air Force has available for launching military satellites. And so, at this point, remember the injunction was a temporary injunction, and I believe as of yesterday, Judge Braden lifted her injunction. So at this point, things are back to normal.
So we know Elon Musk says this is a space launch monopoly, but is it? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about the capabilities and whether there are, in fact, other rivals in this market?
Well, Mr. Musk is correct in the sense that traditionally the U.S. Air Force has been launching its satellites mostly on Boeing or Lockheed vehicles, so the Atlas and the Delta. And they're being launched by a joint venture of Boeing and Lockheed called ULA, United Launch Alliance. And so in that sense, SpaceX is correct. SpaceX is trying to open the door so that the Air Force can use their rocket, which is the Falcon 9. And so far, he's managed to pry open the door a little bit. And so some of the DoD satellites will be launched by Falcon 9, but not many of them. And so he's trying to open the door to be able to compete for more of those contracts.
Just to clarify, the Falcon 9 is a total package that has the engine, the liquid fuel part, and the outer casing and the rest of it that actually goes into space?
Exactly. All of that is produced by SpaceX, and just like the Delta IV is produced by Boeing. The real issue here is that one part of the Atlas V, which is competing against the Falcon 9, is produced by Russia, and that's the RD-180 engine, which we're talking about.
But otherwise, at the end of these things, they all plug into whatever it is that's going to go on top the same way. They're interchangeable.
What do you mean by interchangeable?
Well, in other words, there's a payload, and so the payload can attach to any of these things that come below.
Oh, sure, sure. And the satellites can attach to any one of these rockets. Exactly. So the Air Force has an option of launching on a Falcon 9, a Delta IV, an Atlas V. That's not really the issue.
One of the things that Elon Musk is making as part of his argument is the need to have domestic capabilities and rely less on Russia. And we see this in the NASA astronauts having to take off they can't do it in the United States. And here there was the sanctions on Russia that almost blocked this deal with ULA from going forward. Can you tell us a little bit about why the U.S. doesn't have these capabilities themselves?
Well, the depends on what you're talking about. The U.S. does have the capability to launch its own military satellites. It can launch on a Delta IV, and it can launch on a Falcon 9. It can launch on an Atlas V as well, and only, like I said, the engine is Russian-made. Ultimately, if we wanted to develop our own engine for the Atlas V, we could do that. It would just take a lot of money and some time. With regard to launching our astronauts to the space station, that's a little bit more problematic. We definitely rely 100% on the Russians and their Soyuz rocket and Soyuz capsules to get our astronauts up there. The reason we don't have our own vehicle, human-rated vehicle at the moment, is simply because we're in the transitional phase when the space shuttle fleet was canceled a few years ago, we really didn't have anything to take its place. And there are many reasons for that. We could do a whole show about that. But the reality is we just didn't have enough money to develop a vehicle comparable to the space shuttle. And the space shuttle was now over a quarter century old, and it was time to be replaced. SpaceX is working on a human-rated vehicle, as is, I believe, Orbital Sciences, two American companies, and we should have a replacement for Soyuz within the next 2, 3, or 4 years. These things just take time and a lot of money, and the budget is kind of tight right now.
We're speaking with Marco Cassara, Senior Analyst and Director of Space Studies at the Thiel Group. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the Atlas V and the Delta IV have been around for quite a while, correct?
Yes, they have been. They've been around for over a decade now. And both of them were developed with funding from the Air Force. I believe the Air Force gave Lockheed and Boeing each about $500 million during the 1990s to develop these vehicles. And certainly the two companies put in their own money as well. They've been around, and everything has worked very well. The relationship with the Russians has not been a problem, either with regard to the engines or the supply of the engines or with regard to the supply of the Soyuz rockets and capsules. The difficulty right now is really mainly because of geopolitics. You have the Russians causing havoc in the Crimea and the Ukraine, and so the United States and Europe feel obliged to pass sanctions. That's what's complicating the situation. Otherwise, the relationship with the Russians and the U.S. and Europe has been pretty good.
And getting back to the idea of the human-rated vehicle to take people up, are the Delta, the Falcon, and the Atlas, is that the part that's not human-rated, or is it, again, the payload that has to be human-rated?
No, the rockets themselves are not human-rated. It's very expensive to develop a human-rated vehicle like the space shuttle, or the kind of vehicles that we saw back in the Apollo era. You have to have a lot of redundant systems to make sure that if one system fails, you have at least another one or another one so that people don't get killed. That's what made the space shuttle so expensive and so successful. I mean, it was a very reliable vehicle, despite the two tragedies with Challenger and Columbia. So these vehicles that we have now are not human-rated, and the goal is to make them human-rated eventually. It just takes more time and a lot more money, and like I said, the money is really tight in the budget right now. So that's the ultimate goal, and I would imagine at this point, given the situation with Russia, that Congress will want to appropriate a lot more money to speed up the process of making one or all of these vehicles human-rated in the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, I was just going to ask you that, because you've mentioned, you know, with both the engines, the Russian-made engines for these for the ULA devices, and then with the lack of a space shuttle, it does require money. Is this something that there's a political will to fund?
Well, it depends on what estimate you're looking at. Some people in the industry estimate that it would take no more than a couple hundred million dollars to develop a replacement for the RD-180 engine, and that it could be done within a year or two. Other estimates go as high as $1 billion in 4 to 5 years. So it depends on what estimate you believe. There is legislation in Congress, I believe in the House side, that calls for appropriation of a lot of money to speed up the process of developing a replacement for the RD-180. But still, that's a proposal. And I don't know whether there's a consensus in Congress to pass that kind of money, because we are talking about potentially $1 billion.
I mean, can't they just reverse engineer an RD-180?
I don't think it's that simple. I think there are certain techniques that the Russians do very well that we haven't been able to copy. I think we could probably do it, but like I said, it's not as easy as doing it within a year or so. It would take several years to do. In the meantime, remember, we do have a backlog, a stock of RD-180. So even if the injunction were to have held, we wouldn't be under immediate pressure to rely on another vehicle other than the Atlas V. We still have enough engines so that the Atlas could continue to launch for 2 or 3 years, not a problem. And at the same time, we have the Delta IV, and we also have the Falcon 9. So it's not a desperate situation that we find ourselves in.
No, but it does make you wonder, what do the Russians have that we don't? I mean, why don't we have the manufacturing capability, or is it the knowledge? Is it the personnel?
No, we have the technology, we have the capability. It's just that there's certain things that the Russians just have done better traditionally, and that has been in the area of certain types of engines. We do solid fuel engines better than the Russians. The Russians have traditionally done a better job in terms of the liquid, in terms of their ability to launch huge amounts of weight into space. It's not a technology that we couldn't emulate. It just it's one that we really haven't felt the need to emulate because our specific needs for launching payloads into space are just different from the Russians. The Russians tend to launch heavier stuff because their technology with regard to, say, structures is not as advanced as ours. We rely on more on lightweight structures, so we don't really need to build these heavy lift engines traditionally.
So then, to summarize, and there's a couple of challenges. One is to develop an engine so that there's a domestic source of them, and then there's also the challenge of humanizing or making safe for humans the technology we do have.
Exactly. Those are the two gaps that we have at the moment. They're not gaps that can't be filled. It just takes a little bit more time. In the meantime, we've got this political situation with the Russians, which kind of lends a sense of urgency to both of these issues. But they're not certainly not insurmountable.
So if the Delta IV, Falcon 9, and Atlas V, any of those could be made human safe, then they could also be used for the space station as well as for putting satellites, which I guess is a different orbit, right?
Right. The space station is at low Earth orbit, and many of the satellites that we launch go to geostationary. But we also launch a lot of military satellites to low Earth orbit. So, but the answer to your question is yes. We could make those human rated, and where we wouldn't have to rely on the Russians. But it will require a fair amount of money.
And what about a rocket to go to the asteroids or to Mars? Are any of these ever capable of that?
Well, we're looking at another program called the Space Launch System, SLS, which the U.S. is developing, and it should be ready by around 2018, 2020. And that's really the goal of that vehicle. The mission is to send is to capture an asteroid or to eventually send humans to the moon or to even to Mars. But again, we're talking about a lot of money, and we're still talking about 5 or 6 years down the road. The question is whether we continue with that program or whether we switch the money that we're investing in that program and put it into a new Delta or a new Atlas or a heavier Falcon 9. And those are questions that are still being debated within the government.
Marco Caceres is a senior analyst and director of space studies for the Thiel Group. And Marco, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.